Hello, welcome to another member podcast on AboveTopSecret.com. I hope you guys are enjoying podcasting as much as I am, because I sure am a lot. And I'm going to do a special podcast here for Skeptic Overlord, who has shown some interest in the original P, Parliament Funkadelic, and just because I thought you might be interested in. When you get a dull moment, you can just listen to this maybe one day. But I'm going to deposit it here for your further later review, hopefully. I just want to talk a little bit about in length about that whole project with the original P, which I did do in my studio. And since you seem to express such an interest, Skeptic, in funk in itself, I happen to know some things about it, and mostly particularly from my project there with Original P. And let me see, I'll start from the top. They came into my studio on a recommendation, and they were looking for, I don't have a big, huge, massive place. I got a pretty small place, but they were looking to save a little money and stuff. And just a little bit of background on Parliament Funkadelic, George Clinton, Bootsy Collins, the original P, and how that all came about. I don't know if you know, but those guys were in a lot of internal. They had a lot of internal problems between Clinton and Fuzzy Grady Calvin and Ray, who you mentioned. And during the middle of all that, they split up. And, of course, you may know about that. Parliament went on to become, actually, George Clinton established the P-Funk All-Stars, and Original P became, actually, Fuzzy Grady Calvin and Ray were out of it for about 3 or 4 years after Clinton went off with P-Funk All-Stars and sort of did that, and they split up. But anyway, 3 or 4 years later, they got together and started doing some stuff, and the next thing you know, they were out touring again under Armin's label, which is Westbound Records. I think I mentioned that. If you check, you'll see it's the real deal. And anyway, when I met them, I was pretty surprised, actually, at how nice those guys really were. They were, out of all the people that have ever recorded in my studio here, I think I probably had more fun with them than just about anybody. They're just a blast to be around and work with, man. They're constantly cracking up, and as I mentioned, they keep a bottle of Grand Marnier, one of those big bottles. They drink that stuff, you know, like pretty much every single session. They even got me to try it, and it was pretty good. Actually, I'm not really much of a drinker, but I did like that stuff. Anyway, moving right along, just wanted to tell you a little bit about the project and so you can have a cool little snippet of some history on some stuff that you appear to like. And I don't know, you may just be kidding about this whole funk stuff. It's really hard to read you sometimes, but hey, that's I guess what makes this fun. In the studio, as I mentioned, these guys were using huge amounts of tracks, which was just so wild to me because I actually was able to pull that off, back in, I guess this was 96, 97, 98, one of those years, hell, I can't exactly remember right, but, back in those days, I had I think it was either a Pentium 1 or maybe it was a Pentium 2 400. And tough enough, these guys came in and I saw all those ADATs they brought me. Those are ADATs are multi-track tapes, by the way. They're sort of a modular multi-track machine format, 8-track a piece. And you can sort of link machines together to combine and get many more tracks. And at the time, I think I was running about 3 or 4 of those machines for about 32 channels. And I had just changed over to PC and gotten into the whole DAW, digital audio workstation deal. And so I was really learning computers and trying to figure out, you know, how to make this stuff work. And I remember I had to do a bunch of research to get the machine to actually be able to record them, knowing how many tracks they were going to use. It was a tough assignment. I'm sitting here on a P2400, and thank God I'd put some pretty kick-ass SCSI Cheetah drives in the machine, because I really needed the disk throughput, I later found out, for all those tracks. Had I not had that and made that move, I'd have been dead. But as a matter of fact, I had to actually upgrade my PC to that unit, which from a previous unit, in order to accommodate them, and I just barely, by the skin of my teeth, pulled it off. Kind of a technical feat, if you will. I was running, I was getting 114 channels on a P2400 with SCSI drives, and this is at 48 kilohertz, 32-bit audio. Now, you know, I'm rambling on, and some of you are going to find this podcast awful boring, I'm telling you, but I think Skeptical like it. He'll get a kick out of it from, hopefully at least an insider's perspective. And, anyway, so after I barely, by the skin of my teeth, managed that to get the PC running, and I'm keeping in mind I was new, you know, at the whole digital audio workstation thing, because I'd always recorded the tape and ADATs and multi-track machines and stuff, and it was a really new venture. But anyway, moving on to the project, yeah, they came in, and those tapes that you saw in the picture are indeed authentic. I took that picture, like I said, for you, because you seem to be real interested in funk and stuff. So anyway, working with them in the studio was just a trip, man. They brought me these tapes, and a lot of the times the sessions were just with Fuzzy, Grady, Calvin, and Ray, the main five. And I got off track here, but maybe I didn't finish the story about what happened to them. They had toured for about 3-4 years after that split up with Clinton. And that's when they came to Atlanta. Just so you know, I think at least one of them, Grady, lives here in Atlanta. And another little article of interest for you is that picture that you just saw of the tapes was actually taken with a camera that Grady gave me, a digital camera, the very first and only digital camera I've owned. It's a piece of junk, really, just probably less than a megapixel or something. But still, you know, I hold on to it because, you know, it was a special gift from Grady. He was getting another one, and he just kind of decided to pretty much either give that to me or sell it to me for really cheap, like $20 or something. I don't know. I can't exactly remember. I actually bought quite a few things from Grady. He just, so you know, another little article. He runs or used to delve in flea market stuff a lot. So he would come upon these things. I think I bought a chainsaw from Grady, a real nice one. I paid like $75 for it, brand new in the box. Yeah, I'm wondering too where exactly it came from, but hey, you know, it was Grady from Original P, Parliament Funkadelic. So I also bought a tool set from him, or maybe he gave me that. I'm not sure. There's several things, and like I said, Calvin gave me a pair of FUBU jeans, which is cool, and I still wear to this day. And Fuzzy still calls me every once in a long while. It's been probably about a year now since I've heard from Fuzzy. But anyway, more on the project. They were recording so many tracks in so many different divisions. They had their players spread out all over the place. Some of them were flying in from Detroit and Ohio and stuff to do these sessions here in my little tiny studio. Well, I suppose it's not really little tiny, but it's just big enough to accommodate them. And anyway, and by the way, just so you know, Ben, one of the musicians that play with these guys are absolutely incredible. And when I say incredible, I mean over the top. They are amazing. For the concert that I went to down at the Variety Playhouse here, these guys are pushing, at the time I was dealing with them, they were pushing 62, 63 years old. In fact, soon after that, I think Ray, the big bass singer guy, he actually had a heart attack, and they were put on hold for a while. They thought he was going to die. And all this was happening, too, while, you know, right in the middle of our project. They spent about 8 months here with me in the studio. And anyway, the concert at the Variety Playhouse was just ultra cool, man. As I mentioned, because I was recording their album, I kind of got a VIP backstage pass, which was so very cool. I got to go back behind there with them and you know, eat some of the food. They had all laid out and everything. It was just a really cool experience, and they had that place absolutely packed to the walls. And out of it's not a very big place. I think about 1,000, maybe 1,500 people can fit in there. But man, they had those people just, I mean, on their feet the whole time. It was just, hell, even I was dancing, and boy, you do not want to see me dance. But the costumes that they wore, and I'm sure you know, aware of Funkadelic and the costumes they wear. Calvin had on his big, massive, 4-foot-tall hat, and Fuzzy had on his, I mean, this is a guy 63 now. It comes out in some like spandex and a half see-through shirt and stuff, and I mean, these guys just sweating up a storm up there, putting on the best concert. Let's see, Ben. Ben, the drummer, is actually an incredible bass player. And he and I and a couple of other friends have jammed. Every time he comes to Atlanta, he calls me up and we get together and jam. So it's kind of cool to get with the band, to jam with Ben. He's an incredible musician, and just wish those guys were around more. Anyway, there's so much to talk about with this. I spent 8 months with the guys, and I really wanted to do this podcast for you because I really can't offer a little interesting piece of history for you that you probably won't hear much anywhere else. And their project, like I said, took incredible amounts of tracks. They were bringing in, they have three singers, all of which are pretty, really nice looking women. And, you know, they were up in here several times, doing tracks. And, one of the times, like I said, one of the songs got to like 52 channels, just of vocals by itself. It was really an insane amounts of layering on the instruments. And, the keyboard player, Pete, and, some of these other guys, that they were bringing in, just all monster musicians. It was so cool to be able to get to work with people like that after years and years of working mostly with locals that sometimes aren't exactly, shall we say, the most gifted people you could, you know, see on the planet. But anyway, there's so much more. Hell yeah. I remember the time when this was a real sad story, and they were sitting on the couch. We were approximately maybe 75% done with the record, or it might have been about 90. It was close to being finished, the recording of it. And one night we were sitting on the couch, and Fuzzy gets a phone call, and it's Armand from Westbound, their record company. And we're sitting there trying to conduct a session. All of a sudden, Fuzzy starts, just really, his voice starts getting louder and louder, and all, you know, and I'm kind of starting to pay attention a little more to Fuzzy, instead of, you know, watching the screen and running the session, because, you know, it's getting to the point where it's like, what's going on here? And then he starts really screaming at the top of his lungs at Armin and stuff, and the session just kind of shut down. The guys kind of walked outside and left Fuzzy in there, and I was still in there, and Fuzzy looked at me like, you know, like, what are you doing still sitting there? Get your ass outside. And I just kind of went, huh? Well, all right. Kind of, it was the last one out. But listening to all this, it turns out, and then all hell broke loose as soon as he got off the phone. And he's like calling everybody in there and just all in front of me and everything. And I couldn't help but just kind of shut up and listen, I guess. The deal was, Armin from Westbound had decided that Funk was no longer selling enough, and that they were going to need something else to boost their sales. So Armin decided, Fuzzy said that Armin had decided that to offer Original P a last offer, or leave the label or be dropped. And the offer was that they put six rappers with the group, and that the band that Original P had was going to be the backup band for this band of six rappers that was going to come. And now the show was going to be divided up between, you know, like half funk and half rap. And boy, they were just livid. I remember Ben almost crying about it. He's like, "Oh no, man! You know, I don't want to play rap, man. Come on, man. This is just..." It was just a really sad scene to hear all the responses and all these years of work, and of course, you know their legacy. But that was a period in my studio that I'll never forget. It was one of the most fulfilling experiences I've had, and to this day, the record is unreleased because of that fact. I'm not exactly sure what happened, whether they continued with Armand or whether they got with the rappers. I don't know that they had a whole lot of choices at that point anymore. Anyway, I won't ramble on anymore. I just wanted to give you a little snippet since you seemed interested in the funk. And I'm really, really not trying to, you know, make you jealous or any kind of crap like that. I'm doing this honestly, genuinely, because I really felt like you were interested. This is True American signing out, and really sorry to bore all of you that had nothing to do with this.